The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
We're going to continue in worship through the preaching of God's Word. And so if you have your Bibles with you today, we invite you to have those ready. Also on your seats, we also have some Bibles available for you. But those of you, as Doug pointed out, for some reason, apparently paper's outdated. I didn't think so, but you know, if you're more electronically advanced or capable, you can pull out your phone, you know, that thing. All right, or your tablet, right? We have those now, right? Those are great things. And so pull those out as we get ready. Next couple weeks, we're going to be doing a series. I'm preaching this week. My name is Andrew Porter. I'm going to be preaching this week. And next week, TJ Williams will be continuing the series about city dwellers. And we're going to talk a little bit about a concept that you'll hear us talk a lot about here at Hope Hill Church. And it's a concept that's kind of beginning to resurge within the church, and rightfully so. It's this term called missional. Any of you ever heard the word missional before? Missional, right? You'll notice I'm saying missional, not missions. How many of you heard the word missions before? Right? You're like, yeah, I've heard missions. What's this missional thing? Well, we're going to talk about missional, what that means. It's this concept, it's this biblical principle that many people in the church are beginning to understand and say, you know what? The church for so long was missional, and then we kind of got away from it, and we need to bring that back into the church. And so we're going to talk about what it means to live missionally. What does missional mean? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, so would you join me in prayer as we just prepare our hearts for God's word? Jesus, we come into your presence this morning. We just thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. And God, we pray that this morning your truth would seep into our hearts and our minds, and it would change us. All for your glory, all for your name. God, may the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray this in your name. Amen. I had been at this Starbucks for months. The computers at my job were kind of down. The internet was down, and many of you know how frustrating that can be. How many of you get tons of emails all the time, right? And, you know, a few weeks ago, we had all the storms, and all the cell towers are down, and your phones aren't working, and we're all of a sudden realizing, oh, no, what happened to technology? Well, I was in the Starbucks. I'd been there for months. And every day I would go there, I would sit at the same table, and I would take out my bag, I would take out my laptop. Basically, it was my mobile office. How many of you have ever used a local Starbucks or a coffee shop for a mobile office, right? You're like thankful for free Wi-Fi, right? And every day, I was there for months, and I would go, and I would sit in the same spot, and I would get the same drink, or one or two drinks. And I would go, and I would greet the same servers every single time. And over the course of a few months, I found out that this one particular barista, as they're called, that she happened to be a lesbian. And over that period of time, we kind of developed a relationship, and you know, she kind of found out that I was a pastor. And so every now and again, she would kind of make a joke. She'd be like, "Oh, and Jesus loves me, right?" And I would say, "Actually, he does." And then she would get quiet, and she would go back to doing her job. Well, one evening, I happened to just stop on in there to get a drink, and she was off her shift, and she sat down next to me, and she was talking with some friends, and she made a statement that she was waiting for her partner. Now, she made the mistake, and she intentionally changed her statement to make me think that she was not lesbian, and I said to her, I said, "Why are you trying to be something you're not just because I'm a pastor?" And her statement back to me was, "Well, just don't hate me." I was in this restaurant, and as I was in this restaurant, I was with a friend, and it was a great restaurant in Old Town Alexandria, and we were spending our time, and we were having a great meal, and next to us, it was kind of a Friday night, and we were just hanging out, and having a great time, great meal, great conversation. And to the side of us happened to be a table, and they were all servers that worked at this restaurant that had come as a group in their off time because they liked the restaurant. So they were all gathered and hanging out, and they're all having a conversation. And in this particular restaurant, the seats were very close to each other, and so you kind of get to know your neighbors really well. And so we started talking. We kind of struck up a conversation. I started talking with one of the servers there, and we just they found out, oh, so what do you do? And I said, well, actually, I'm a pastor at a church, and they were like, no way. And at this time, some of you, maybe if you're lucky enough, will see, I had a mohawk for 4 years, so that's always an interesting thing when you have a mohawk, ears pierced, and you sell someone you're a pastor. Throws people for a loop, just going to let you know. And some of you are like, oh, yeah, I can see that. And so we're sitting there, we're in this restaurant, and they were kind of shocked, and we just kind of struck up a conversation and talking. And this woman that was with them, she said, oh, what are you guys talking about? And the server said, oh, this guy's a pastor. And the woman turned white as a ghost. I'm like, this could either be really good or really bad. I don't really know which way this is going to go right now. And she proceeded to tell me that she had had a dream. And in that dream, she met a pastor who told her something had happened terribly wrong to her son. And she proceeded to tell me her life story and proceeded to tell me that her son lived in Michigan and she was here in the Washington, D.C. area and he had autism. And a severe form of autism where, you know, there were opportunities that he would hurt himself and things like that. And she was, and her statement to me was, and I'm just so scared. One day I was driving and I happened to drive out of my parking lot at the church I was working at. And as I pulled out of the parking lot, I could see this man walking down Smoketown Road, those of you that know where that is here in Woodbridge. And he came walking down Smoketown Road and he had 7 or 8 bags slung over his shoulders. He happened to be a homeless man. He had a beard that, to be honest with you, I was kind of jealous of. You know, I was like, man, I wish I had that beard. My wife would hate if I had that beard, but I wish I had that beard. And he had this amazing beard, and I saw him walking down, but he was had these bags. I mean, I'm telling this guy, I was amazed. He had rigged up, kind of like, I was like, this guy's like an engineering genius, you know, with as many bags as he had. As he slung them over his shoulder, he's walking down the road, and I pulled out, and I saw him, and I just felt like God said, turn around. God, I don't have much time, and God, I got, you know, I have to go get something real quick for lunch, because I got something I have to plan for later on, and so I got to go do this, and turn around. Okay, God, I'll turn around. So I turned around, and I pulled back, I kind of pulled a U-ey, and I stopped, and I said, hey, I said, can I bring you somewhere? Can I take you somewhere? And he said, no, I'm good. I said, well, can I get you some lunch? He was like, that'd be great. I said, where would you like to go? You see, this idea of missional is about being Christ in the world. See, we come in contact every single day with people that are in all kinds of life circumstances. And you are another individual that is also and has experienced different things in life. And so for you, God wants to use you to make a difference in the world. This morning we're going to talk about what it means to be a city dweller and an everyday missionary. We're going to talk about this idea that what does this word, as I said in the beginning, missional actually mean? We hear it, okay? I've heard it, I've studied it, and I want us to break it down a little bit. I want us to understand and begin to understand what this concept of missional means. It's an understanding that we are the church. That the church has nothing, as Nathan said earlier today, that the church is not a building made of wood and metal and stone. That the church is you and me. In Scripture, the church is never talked about in terms of a building. In Scripture, the church is talked about as the gathering of the body of believers. And it talks about the gathering of the body of believers who are on mission, who are on a mission. And we have to understand that the mission that we're on is not ours, it is God's. And we are partnering with God on that mission. This is this idea of being missional. As the church, we are city dwellers. You live in a neighborhood. You go to a job. You live in a home. You have family, you have friends, you have acquaintances, you have coworkers.
Chris just had, I mean, that great story this morning. He, you know, here's a coworker that comes up and says, hey, here's what's going on in my life. I kind of need you to take on my projects. And some of us are like, know what it's like at work, right? You're like, as if I don't have enough projects of my own, right? We're in that place. It's kind of, at many times, inconvenient. But we're going to talk about and see Jesus' model of what it means to be missional. You see, to be an everyday missionary. See, how many of you have heard the term missionary before? Heard the term missionary? Like, okay, I have the concept. When you think of a missionary, many times you may think of someone who travels overseas, correct? Maybe you think of someone that is in Africa or South America or Mexico or Asia or, you know, underground in China somewhere. Or, you know, they learn this foreign language and they adapt to this culture. And all of those things are very true about missionaries. But I'm going to tell you this morning that every one of us, if you are a believer in Christ, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're a missionary. You're being called. You're being sent. You and I, if we are believers in Christ, are missionaries, everyday missionaries. And we don't have to go overseas. Maybe God might call some of us to go overseas, but we can be everyday missionaries right where we are, every day. We have opportunities. Mother Teresa said this, great opportunities come once in a lifetime, but small opportunities surround us every day. Let me say that again. Great opportunities come once in a lifetime, but small opportunities surround us every day. Being an everyday missionary is keeping your eyes open, your heart open to those small opportunities to make a difference for the mission of Christ. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. A key figure in the missional movement, if you will, kind of calling the church back to this missional principle, his name is Reggie McNeil. If you can get books by Reggie McNeil, he's great. He's got a great, he just has a great understanding of what it means to be missional. He defines the missional church this way. He defines the missional church with this statement. The people of God partnering with him in his redemptive mission in the world. Let me say that again. Missional is this. Missional means the people of God partnering with him in his redemptive mission in the world. Okay? This morning we're going to break that down into four parts. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to talk about how you and I can live that way. How we can live as city dwellers and everyday missionaries. Okay? So the first part of this concept of being missional is the people of God. So the first concept is the people of God. If you have notes in your worship guide, write it down. This is why I put this up here for you, okay? The people of God. Okay, the scriptures that we find this in are John 1, 10 through 13 and 1 Corinthians 12, 27. The first point we have to understand about being the people of God is what I said earlier. The church is not a building, it's the people. It's not about an it or a what, it's about a who. Okay? And so that's first. We have to understand ourselves as the people of God. The people of God, meaning tangible representations of God's love, grace, and mercy. So when we're talking about the people of God, we're talking about you and me, flesh and blood. We go out and we are the hands and feet of Christ in the world. John 1, 10 through 13 says this. He was in the world, he being Jesus, okay? He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So the people of God is anyone who has received the gift of salvation through belief in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And so if that is you, you are a person of God. You are part of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27, Paul makes it very clear. If you are that person that's believed in Christ, he says this, 1 Corinthians 12, 27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. Doesn't mix any words. He says, now you are a part of the body of Christ. And so when we talk about the people of God, we're talking about all those who are believers in Christ, who are disciples of Jesus. If that is you, you are on a mission. The second part of this is this idea, partnering with him. partnering with him, him being Jesus, partnering with God. John 17, 15 through 18, and John 1, 14 is where we find this concept. We have to understand something. This mission is not found at the source of you and me. We have to understand that this mission we're on starts with the heart of God. See, God, at the very core of who he is a missionary God. At the core of who God is, he is a sending God. Where do we see that? Let's look at John 17, 15 through 18. This is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." At the core of who Jesus is, at the core of what Jesus is calling us to, he's sending us. At the core, God is a missionary sending God. And therefore, we are partnering with God in what he's doing because God is already sent. God has already sent Christ, and God is on mission. It's his mission, and we are partnering with him in it. John 1:14, one of the best passages, says in the NIV, it says, "The word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The message says this: the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that. It says that the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus was not some kind of like, "Well, you guys stay over there, and I'm going to stay over here on this side of the tracks, and we'll kind of have some conversation from afar." No, Jesus became flesh, the word of God, and moved into our neighborhoods, made his dwelling among us. And so we have to understand this. Number A, the Father is the source of mission. The Father is the source of that mission. It comes from God. Jesus says it, "You have sent me, so I'm sending them." So the Father is the source. B, the Son is the embodiment of that mission. The Son is the embodiment of that mission. And C, the mission is done in the power of the Spirit. So when we look at partnering with God on this mission, we have to understand that it all originates with him. That the Father is the source, the Son is the embodiment, and we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're talking about. So first, it's the people of God partnering with him, partnering with God. And then the third part, in his redemptive mission. Redemptive, okay? The key word here, God is on a mission of redemption. God is this God who did not see fit that all of humanity would somehow be apart from him but because of sin, but instead God desired that we would be made one with him, that we would have a relationship with him again, that we would not be separated as this big chasm, this big, the Grand Canyon space between us and God. Instead, in Christ, he has desired that we would have a relationship with him, and that could only happen through what Christ has done on the cross. So we have to understand this, that in God's redemptive mission, that God has come in Jesus Christ to reconcile us to himself. Reconcile us. So when we look at God's redemptive mission, we have to see in Scripture where this is God's mission. So where do we see this? John 3:16 and 17. Some of you know John 3:16, can say it without flinching, but we have to add 17. Okay, because it's so important. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You see, God is on a redemptive mission. He has come to rescue all of humanity from sin into a relationship with himself. God has come in Christ to reconcile us to himself. Letter B is this: we are powerless to do it on our own. It's not what we can do, but what Christ has already done. For months we've been going through Galatians, looking at this idea that it is not what I do that saves me, But it is only by the cross of Christ, it is only by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, His shed blood for your sins and my sins, that we can be reconciled to God. We can't do it on our own. We are powerless to save ourselves. But in Christ, what He has already done on the cross, in the power of His resurrection, we can be restored and redeemed and made into right relationship with Christ. And that is God's redemptive mission. And you and I are on that mission. Okay? So the people of God, repeat after me, the people of God, partnering with Him in His redemptive mission. Last part, number four, in the world. Repeat after me, in the world. Excellent. Acts 1:8, great passage of scripture. This is where we begin to see what Jesus sending forth His disciples. Okay? Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Let me just tell you this morning. Power. If you see that, if you're in your Bible, if you're looking at this, I want you to circle that word power. See, sometimes we live as people who feel like we are down and out. We are overcome. We are overwhelmed. And I'm telling you this morning that by the Holy Spirit of God, who's been gifted to you and me by the cross and resurrection of Christ, we have received power through the Holy Spirit. And He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is making a very interesting statement here. We're going to break that down a little bit. That Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem is like your backyard. Okay, here's Jesus. Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. When He's speaking to the disciples right now in this moment, He's speaking and they're in Jerusalem. And so Jesus is talking about His backyard. Hey, first, you're going to be my witnesses right here, right now. Your backyard, your neighborhood, your neighbors, your friends, the people that live in the townhouse next to you, the people that live, you know, on either side of you in your development, the people that are in your apartment building, all of those people, that is what we're talking about, okay? Then He says Judea. Judea is kind of like the main region that they live in, where Jerusalem is located. And He says, you're going to go and you're going to be my witnesses, let's just say Prince William County. He's saying, you're not just going to be my witnesses in your home. Now you're going to be witnesses in the county where you live. And then He says, you're going to go to Samaria. Samaria, I'm going to tell you right now, this is such a key phrase. Now, people, we could easily think that Samaria, well, okay, let's extend that out a little bit. So maybe we start looking at Northern Virginia. But here's something that's very interesting. Jesus is talking to Jews. And He says, you're going to be my witnesses to Samaria. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Jesus wasn't just making a statement like, oh, we're going to extend this out to like greater regions. Jesus was making a profound statement. He was saying, and you're going to be my witnesses to the very people you don't like. You're like, okay, wait a second. My neighbor, gotcha, check. The person in my apartment building, gotcha, check. County, I can do some volunteer work. Check. Northern Virginia? Sure, I live here. I can do that. But wait a second. You're telling me I got to be witnesses to the people I don't like? Yes. Don't get mad at me. Jesus said it. Okay? It's the truth. And that's what this is about. Why do you think, would we need the power of the Holy Spirit if this was easy? No. If this was easy, we could do it on our own. But Jesus says, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. It's not going to be easy, but it's what I'm calling you to. It's where I'm sending you. See, it's to be the people of God, partnering with Him in His redemptive mission in the world, in all the places we go, in all the places we are. We are to be city dwellers, A, city dwellers, and B, everyday missionaries. Jeremiah 29:7 talks about this idea of city dwellers. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. See, we're not just talking about living in the city and kind of getting your own. See, what it means to be a city dweller is this. A city dweller is someone that while they are living where they are, is generous in love and action, believing that if they better the community they're in, they recognize that they too will prosper. See, it's about, in God's economy, in God's kingdom, not being self-centered, but rather looking out beyond ourselves. In the mission of God, in being city dwellers, we realize that when we are generous in love, when we are generous in action, when we care about our community, when we care about others, when they win, we win. When they're loved, we're loved. How many times, though, we live in a world and a society that says, get your own, get yours. Worry about what you can get. Don't worry about the prosperity of the city. See, in the kingdom of God, when we are city dwellers, we are generous and we recognize that by bringing the grace and peace of Christ to our world, it makes a difference for everyone. Let me ask you this question. If you weren't in your home, if you weren't in your office, if you weren't in your school, if you weren't in your group of friends, if you weren't on your athletic team, would it be worse off if you weren't there? Now, before you go, well, I'm like the best one on the team. Of course they'd be worse off. No. Would they be worse off because when you're there, you've brought with you the peace and the grace and the mercy, love, and compassion of Christ? If you were to leave, would they be worse off because there would be a gap there because the presence of Christ wouldn't be evident? Now, I believe God is everywhere, but God chooses to work in and through us wherever we are to bring his kingdom. And so my question is, would those places be worse off if you weren't there? If our answer is no, and I say that our answer, I have to answer that question myself. We need to start asking, why not? Why am I not bringing the presence of Christ there? Is it my attitude? Is it my actions? You might be the most skillful, competent person in the world and not bring with you the presence of Christ. And guess what? You might leave. They'll find a replacement. But would it be worse off because they don't sense Christ there? That's what it means to be a city dweller, to be an everyday missionary. We have to understand that Christ has called you and me to a ministry of reconciliation. That's what the 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 20 says. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 20. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. I said this earlier, and is a huge word, didn't stop, did it? It didn't just say, reconciled through Christ, period, done. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us, given to you and me, the message of reconciliation. Everyday missionaries, this is who we are. We are to be everyday missionaries that bring this message. We are ambassadors for Christ. We bring Christ with us wherever we go. Scripture says this, that you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, wherever we go is sacred space. If we carry around with us the presence of Christ, don't wait to just bring someone to church. You are the church, and you get to bring the presence of Christ with you where you go. We are to be city dwellers and everyday missionaries. How do we do this? I'm going to end in conclusion kind of looking at the example of Jesus. Jesus in Mark 6, and I believe it's verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. This passage right here is right before Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus is our example of what it looks like to be a city dweller and an everyday missionary. Let's go back to verse 34, and I want to show us a few concepts here. So how do we do this? How do we live as everyday missionaries? How do we actually live this way? Jesus is our example. First is this. Jesus landed and, what's that word? Saw. Repeat after me. 1, 2, 3. Saw, okay? Don't just look at the world around you. See it. Don't just look at the world around you. See it. See the people. See their faces. See their pain. Right? Jesus didn't just look. He saw the large crowd. Then it says he had compassion on them, right? Well, when you actually see somebody, now it moves to a next second thing. Don't just hear them. Instead, listen to them. Don't just hear them, listen to them. There's a big difference. How many of you would say, especially with your spouse, there's those moments where you just hear and there's moments that you listen. Words are coming out of your mouth and your mouth is moving. So I hear you, and then spouse has said, go do, and then you say, I didn't really listen to you. Oh, gosh. Don't just hear. Listen to what is being said. Thirdly, have compassion. Listen, this is huge. Don't judge. Have compassion and love. That's number four. Don't judge. Instead, have compassion and love for the people around you. See, we get so busy judging. Have compassion and love. This is what Jesus' example is. And thirdly, don't criticize. Instead, teach and model. What did it say? Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. That's the model. Don't just look, see. Don't just hear, listen. Don't criticize, teach and model. And don't judge, have compassion and love. That is how we live missionally. That is how we are the people of God, partnering with him in his redemptive mission in the world. That's what it means to be city dwellers. That's what it means to be everyday missionaries. That we go and we see and we listen and we teach and model and we have compassion and love. The band's going to come up and we're going to respond this morning. I just want to end by saying this. Who is that person in your workplace? Who is the person in your life that you have just looked at? Who's the person that you have just heard but not listened to? Who is the person that you've criticized but haven't taught and modeled? Who is that person or those people that you've judged rather than just had compassion and love? Who's your Jerusalem? Who's your Judea? Who's your Samaria? Who's the person or the people that you kind of, I don't really want to be a city dweller with them. I don't want to see them prosper. I don't want to love them. See, God is about something. He's on mission. And he's called you and me to that mission. We need to partner with God in that mission. We need to be missional. We need to be city dwellers and everyday missionaries. So what does it mean to be missional? Repeat after me. The people of God. Repeat after me. The people of God. Partnering with him on his redemptive mission in the world. Just maybe if we would do that, we would see a miracle. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. And God, it is a blessing that we get to be on mission with you. God, this morning as we respond to your grace and your mercy, as we respond to your love, God, as we recognize that Jesus, you are on a mission and you've called us there. God, my prayer this morning is that Jesus, we wouldn't be satisfied just going through life, but we would understand that we are valued, we have purpose, and you've called us to be city dwellers and everyday missionaries. That you've called us to join you on your mission, to bring your love and your grace and your mercy and compassion. God, this morning, may we think of those families. May we think of our friends and our families that have cancer right now, that are down and out and feel hopeless. God, may we be an encouragement and bring them hope. God, this morning, may we be on your mission to bring your grace and your peace and your reconciliation power. God, you are on mission, and may we join you on that mission. We are your people, the children of God, and may we join you. We worship you, we love you, and we give you the praise this morning. It's your name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue in worship this morning. Would you stand with us? And as we enter into his presence this morning, we have communion, which is the body and blood of Christ that was shed and broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. If you want to worship God through partaking of that, we invite you to do so. If you need to pray with someone, in the back of the room, we have people that want to pray with you, that want to partner with you in prayer, that want to say and believe that God can do a miracle in your life if you let them. So we invite you to go and to pray with them. But as we continue in God's presence this morning, we just invite you to worship and to be the people of God.